Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
This is Dana Workman from Haunted Highway on Sci-Fi, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Boom.
This is Bill Murphy of Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Hey everybody, this is Rex Williams, the medic from Destination Truth, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on liveparanormal.com.
This is True TV's haunting evidence investigator, Patrick Burns.
And Ghost Huntress author, Marley Gibson.
And you're listening to Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli.
And Michael Perry.
And we're here. Hello, we're here at the Ghost Host, who is Sophia Temporelli, and weekly at liveparanormal.com.
This is Stefan Brigati from Pacific Coast Paranormal, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. She rocks.
This is Christopher Sanders with My Ghost Story on Biography. You are listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, host of 30-odd Minutes, founder of GhostVillage.com, and author of lots of your favorite paranormal books, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on liveparanormal.com. Boo!
This is Nick Roth, executive producer of Ghost Adventures, the original documentary in Ghost Adventures, season 1 through 10, and executive producer of Ghost Stalkers, author of Chasing Spirits, the building of the Ghost Adventures crew, and founder of NickRothTours.com. You are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Tune in.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Hey, everybody. This is Jeff Belanger, writer and researcher for Ghost Adventures. I'm an author, the writer, host, and producer of New England Legends, the television series, and the podcast. And I just love all things spooky, and I love that Sophia Temporelli has made it 10 years, a decade of broadcasting on liveparanormal.com. Congratulations, that's an incredible accomplishment, and please stay spooky, Sophia.
That's right, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com, and congratulations, Sophia, on celebrating over 10 years of broadcasting, a decade here on liveparanormal.com and History FM. Thank you, Rob Sarek, for providing this format each and every week, and to all of our moderators through the years. Thank you guys for patching us through at live events when we had no internet feed. Thank you guys for all of to all of you, the audience out there. Thank you, too, for all your support over the years as well. Feel free to call into the show at 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316. As well, feel free to jump into the liveparanormal.com chat room. It only takes a second to sign in, get yourself an avatar, and you're part of the LP family. We have some people in there now currently chatting away, so feel free to if you have any questions for our guests today, make sure that they're all capped so that we can distinguish the questions and get them into the show. with Andrea and Sophia. So that leads me to my next part here. I hope everyone's keeping safe. Today, we welcome back Real Life The Conjuring House, Resident Child Survivor, House of Darkness, House of Light Trilogy Series, In a Flicker, and a Wonder to Behold author, lecturer, Andrea Perron. And she'll be discussing her role in the Dark Zone Network's upcoming The House, a Homecoming Halloween weekend live streaming event. So everyone visit House of Darkness, houseoflight.com, thedarkzone.tv. That's for the ticket details for the event as well. Thedarkzone.tv. Facebook, like House of Darkness, House of Light. YouTube, subscribe Andrea Perron. And also, too, we have upcoming Hollywood paranormal hosts Tammy and Bryce. That'll be next weekend, the 30th. We have Heritage Hunters Society paranormal researcher Michael Lacciano returning to the program. That will be November 6th. Paranormal researcher and YouTube sensation Carl the Crusher will be on the program on November 13th. Our paranormal journey field investigator George Chaplin will be on the program on December 4th. So you don't want to miss any of these upcoming broadcasts. We have other guests reserving their spots as well. So like the ghost host Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com Facebook fan page, just to learn of the guests as we learn of them real time. Also, too, like liveparanormal.com Facebook group page. A lot of great new broadcasters have been added to the lineup here on Live Paranormal. And also see the membership thumbnail, too, on Live Paranormal. They start as low as $2.99 a month for VIP packages. And Rob Sirek's great at rewarding the audience. So a lot of books by some of your favorite paranormal authors, giveaways, all for the members here on Live Paranormal. And as well, support the vendors. So if you're getting Grandma a mail meter for Christmas, anything of that type, make sure you do it with the vendors here on Live Paranormal. And as well, tonight, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, Beyond the Screen and Ghost Light Radio, as well as monthly Mondays right here, Chip Coffee of A&E's Paranormal State, Psychic Kids, and now on Kindred Spirits. He's monthly Monday nights here on liveparanormal.com, as well as Ben Hansen, Amy Goodwin, David M. Roundtree, Stefan Brigati, and Michelle Coppock, Ken Gearhart, and many more right here on this network. If you miss anything, archive shows are available as free MP4 iTunes downloads on the homepage of liveparanormal.com. Let's bring our host into the show here. Sophia, congratulations on 10 years of broadcasting.
Thank you. I can't believe it's already been 10 years.
Yeah, and that was really cool. You were part of the OC Paracon this past week, too. How did your interview go?
It went really well. It was very fun to be a part of the OC Paracon with Henry San Miguel. It was a great time. And, yeah, if anyone watches it and loves the movie Halloween, like I said on Facebook, please don't hate me.
You gotta rip apart the movie. But that was a lot of fun watching that, too. So, well, it was 80 minutes of you being interviewed. So that's a first. But it's available on YouTube under OC Paracon. Also, too, you come on up on Monday. You got the Horse Flag Chronicles podcast with Philip and Julia Siracusa. So you looking forward to that?
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it. I'm very excited to be on the Horsefly Chronicles, and I can't wait to talk to Philip and Julia. And, yeah, I mean, it's just going to be a great time, and I'm just really looking forward to it.
Yeah, they're great guests, as they've been on your show, too, as well. In Real Life, the Conjuring House Homecoming live streaming event that starts on the 29th. So visit thedarkzone.tv. That's thedarkzone.tv. And you have an interview that's going to be featured there, too, as well. But, yeah, this guest today, this is going to be fun. This is going to be a lot of fun. So tell us where can people find you and everything else. You got the Twitters and all these different things. Where can you be found?
So I'm on Twitter, at Sophia Temporelli with one L, and Instagram, at Sophia Temporelli. You can also find me on Facebook, Sophia Temporelli. You know, that's definitely my name.
But you had to drop an L because your name's too long. So that's how you can
yeah.
be found. But tell us about our guest today, and we'll be bringing her in just a second here.
Today we welcome back Real Life, the Conjuring House, Child Survivor, House of Darkness, House of Light Trilogy Series, In a Flicker, and A Wonder to Behold author, lecturer Andrea Perron. She will be discussing her role in the Dark Zone's upcoming The House, a Homecoming Halloween weekend live stream. Everyone visit House of Darkness, houseoflight.com, thedarkzone.tv, Facebook like House of Darkness, House of Light, YouTube subscribe, Andrea Perron, In a Flicker author. Let's welcome Andrea back into the show.
Good, because a lot of people are joining in here. Let's see. I'm trying to unmute. That usually means there's a lot of people. Andrea, thanks for coming on.
Oh, it's my pleasure to join you again. I love you two so much. I can't wait. I have big plans for us. You know, I'm going to be out in California not too much farther into the future, and we have some super shenanigans, supernatural shenanigans to make while I'm out there.
It's going to be an honor.
And thank you again so much for coming on today. It's always great having you as a guest, and congratulations on all your success with your books and just your radio shows, everything.
Oh, thanks. You know, I really, every single thing I do, you know, it's true. If you love what you do, you don't work a day, you know, and yes, I work very hard and I put in endless hours into all that I do between events now that we're up and running again, to writing, to doing interviews. I put my whole self out there. But it is truly a labor of love. I truly love the people that I get to interact with. And it's a marvelous experience. If you had asked me 10 years ago, oh, and congratulations, sweetheart. Oh, I'm so proud of you. I say that as an old lady to a much younger one. You know, I am so, so proud of you, and I'll tell you why. There's not enough women working in this field. If they are working in this field, they go unnoticed, unrespected, you know, no attention paid to their work or their contributions. And you are a big, big part of the solution to that problem. And I'm so very proud of you. And I think I did my first interview with you. It had to be 6 or 7 years ago now. And you were still what some would refer to as a kid. But I found you to be so mature for your age, so grounded, asking erudite questions, asking, you know, having done your homework. I mean, everything about you is professional, but it's also so personable that everyone falls madly in love with you instantaneously, myself included. And your father, your family, your whole family, I consider my friends. And it has enriched my life enormously, sweetheart.
Well, thank you so much for the kind words, and thank you for all your support throughout the years. It was amazing, you know, having you on the show all those years ago, and I'm so glad we've been able to stay friends and, you know, just be able to talk about, you know, your experiences. I mean, you lived in such an iconic house, but your story, I think, largely needs to be heard, too, because so much of movies, even ghost stories, are taken and fictionalized, and there's so much more to the events that took place.
Yeah, it's well, The Conjuring, the film, bears no actual resemblance to our story. You know, it's much deeper, it's much darker, it's much richer. It has, you know, layer upon layer upon layer of meaning. You know, it's 1,500 pages, three volumes, House of Darkness, House of Light. And I'll tell you what, when somebody leaps in, not knowing what to expect, when they come out on the back end of the third book, they are changed. They are liberated to tell their own truth. They feel a deep connection to my family, and they never think about anything the same way again. And I was hoping beyond hope that people would connect with our story in such a profound way. And I can't tell you how gratifying it is to know that so many countless thousands and thousands of people now write to me and say, I feel like I lived there with you. I feel like I'm a member of your family. I just can't imagine having any higher compliment paid to my hard work. It took me 7 years to write those books.
Yeah, I mean, there's just a lot to unpack with your story, especially, you know, when you have such a big franchise like The Conjuring. I mean, there's, I think, so much fictional stuff that goes around that it's really hard to decipher. But can you tell everyone, you know, your story of how you all moved into the house and just what transpired for you during that time?
Well, you know, I started the books before we moved into the house, and volume one. And I, you know, I need to let people know that this is an unusual story in that from the moment we step onto the property in Volume 1 as the legitimate owners to the moment that we leave 10 years later, all the stories are intermingled according to the type of haunting. I rely upon my reader. It's very immersive. It's very interactive, much like the upcoming live stream will be. But, you know, it's not, it does not follow chronologically. I just expect and anticipate that it does knock people back on their heels a little bit, but it's written according to the kind of haunting. So, for instance, you know, there's a chapter called Bed Knobs and Broomsticks, and it pretty much encompasses everything that happened in the bedrooms of the house, or with the spirit that used to sweep a broom in our kitchen. So I think her story's in that chapter as well. It's a, you know, 10 chapters and a boatload of subchapters, but you can come across one that's something that happened to Cindy when she was 8 years old, my sister. And then the next story could be something that happened to her when she was 14. And so linear thinkers will say, whoa, 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 I just lost, you know, what's this? I just lost 6 years. No, they didn't. No, you didn't. What I need for you to do is just pause and reflect for a moment on what the point of correlation and integration is with these two stories. And then ask yourself, how many times did that happen to that poor child? You know, so it really does, what it does is it spawns a sense of timelessness with the reader that is hard to abandon, you know, because we are 3D mere mortals and linear time makes sense to our brains. We're hardwired into it. And so what it does is promotes what I think the spirits intended, which was that kind of swirling sense of timelessness of telling the story. Because, you know, Sophia, I've talked to you about this at length. We never knew. We just never knew what was coming next. We didn't know if we were in 1976 or 1842 or 1787. You know, we didn't know depending on what was going to happen next. And according to all of my sisters, that was the thing that was most frightening for them, is never knowing what was coming next. So always being on guard, always being, you know, kind of like a dog with the hair up on the back of their neck all the time, you know, like living that way all the time, which is frankly exhausting. But I introduced the story when we were still living in Cumberland because I want people who are delving deeply into this to know my family before we were considered paranormal, you know, to see that transition occur between being a perfectly normal, natural family and making a transition through no fault of our own and through no will of our own into a supernatural, paranormal family. And every single thing that had to fall precisely into place in order for that to happen. So for the first 50 or 60 pages of Volume 1 of House of Darkness, House of Light, it takes the reader through each point, each unfortunate experience that happened while we were living in a suburb of Providence, and then what precipitated and catapulted our family out to the farm. And then, like I said, for the next 10 years, it's a swirling mass of ashes and smoke and rising up into the cosmos. And all you can do is just immerse yourself in it and feel it and go with it. And I promise you, at the end of Volume 3, you'll see the whole timeline as it transpired, as though it's written as a Venn diagram. And I can't explain how that happened, but I've had too many people tell me that that's the case, that I can deny it. Now, I know that I did not answer your question specifically, but I will tell you, I'll try to get back around to it, that we visited that farmhouse a number of times with the former owner, the man that sold it to us, Mr. Earl Kenyon. And none of us none of us had any memory of seeing anything weird or strange or otherworldly, you know. I mean, there was not a hint of the netherworld in our visits to Mr. Kenyon prior to buying the farm. On the day we moved in, within a matter of 5 minutes, I saw my first full body apparition. At the time, I didn't know it was an apparition. He looked like flesh and blood to me. And as I walked past him, I said, "Good morning, sir." And he ignored me and looked right through me and focused all of his attention on Mr. Kenyon like he didn't even see me. And then my sister Christine saw him, and then my sister Cindy saw him, and then my sister Nancy came in with a box from the moving van just like the rest of us had, and she leaned over to Cindy in the kitchen and she said, "Did you see that man with Mr. Kenyon?" "I did, but he just disappeared." And that was our introduction to the paranormal. None of us had ever had an experience like that. And meanwhile, I'm thinking, you know, that the guy had to have been a neighbor that stopped by, because I asked my mom about it, and she said, "No, his son's on the way, but he's not here yet." So I just figured it was a local that had stopped by to say goodbye to an old friend. You know, I didn't know. Mm-hmm. He seemed absolutely solid to me. And that's when I realized – subsequently I realized that I can see spirit, that I can interact with spirit, that I can literally be in their realm with them simultaneously while I'm in my own. And I consider it the greatest gift of all, that I know it's not a matter of faith or belief or hope or wish. I know that there is something beyond our mortal existence. And from that moment on in my life, when I saw him, it has never stopped, Sophia. It has never stopped. I have encounters all the time. And, you know, leaving the farmhouse did not mean that I left the spirits behind. Far from it. And there are just a multitude of spirits around me. I'm kind of magnetized when it comes to that. I'll even pick up on stuff of people just on street corners and things like that. You know, I'll see somebody and then I'll look back and they're not there. And like, was that a ghost, you know, or was it a drop in from another planet, or, you know, what the hell was that? You know, and yet I consider it a gift. I truly do. I feel very, very blessed to have come into this world with that ability. And I wish that ability for everyone. I truly do. I think it's because I have I'm not tethered to 3D, if that makes any sense. You know, I think there are multiple dimensions that exist simultaneously. And so what most people in the field consider the spirit realm, maybe 4D, and anything beyond, you know, the fifth dimension and beyond. And I traverse them with ease. So as far as I'm concerned, I've had a long and very interesting life. And when I was in my late 40s, found the courage to tell our story and to speak my truth, when I got to the point that I just didn't care how anybody reacted to it.
For sure. It's amazing that you've had these experiences, you know, pretty much your whole life. And I mean, it's such a big story, The Conjuring. To this day, there's still live stream events about it with the Dark Zone. When was the last time you were actually in the home and your family members, too? Has it been a while, or have you guys been there kind of recently?
Well, you know, several of my family members went up to the farm to do an episode of Kindred Spirits with Amy Bruni, Adam Berry, and Chip Coffey. And we did that in 2019. Right after we all were together at the Upper Peninsula Michigan Paracon, the next day after we flew home to our respective states, we all got back on planes and went up to the farm and did a special episode of Kindred Spirits up there. So it was my mother. I'm not my mother. My mother can't travel anymore, but and she wouldn't go back to the farm under any circumstances anyway. Under no circumstances would my mother go back to the farm. She said that the day that we left in 1980 and has been true to her word all these decades. She just wanted to walk away, leave it behind, not look back, you know, all done with it. But Cindy, Christine, Nancy, my father, and I went back to the farm to do an episode of Kindred Spirits. And then last March 11th, March 11th of 2020, pardon me, was the last day that I was at the farm. And Dad and I went up to film an episode of a show for the CW network, which has still yet to air because, of course, you know, COVID, which, you know, shut down every production facility everywhere. And they're out in L.A. and they had were getting hit particularly hard at that time. Couldn't do all the shooting and the editing and everything from their homes. So we shot that. It was a full day and partially into the evening. When we got back to the hotel on March 11th of 2020, I opened my computer to check our seating for our flight back the next morning. I was, you know, with my father, and we lived together down in Florida. And it was one of those, you know, big-ass jets. It holds like 200 people, and there were 189 seats sold. I picked our flight. I picked our seats and did check-in, and then I turned on the news and saw that that was the day that the World Health Organization declared a global pandemic. And I sat there on the bottom of my bed, Sophia, and I thought, what is it about this day? Because in 2011, of you know, March 11th of 2011, was the day that my first book got published. And as the UPS driver was bringing my complimentary copy through the door from my publisher, my mother, I was living in Georgia with my mom at the time, and my sister Chris, and it said CNN breaking news. There's a major earthquake in Japan and incoming tsunami. At the same moment, it's like, you know, for somebody that doesn't believe in coincidence, that gives me chills. And then, you know, all these years later, it happens to be the same day. I'm filming a documentary at the farm, spend the whole day at the farmhouse. And then, you know, here you go. Here's a global pandemic for you to deal with, which, you know, we all knew was coming, but it just happened to all congeal on that day. The next morning, I got on a plane with my father, walked into the airport in Providence, and it looked like, no pun intended, a ghost town. There was nobody there. I mean, there was just nobody there. I could have counted on one hand the people I could see in the main lobby. And when we got on the plane, it was supposed to have 189 passengers with six crew, and there was a total of 24 people on the plane. And, you know, we didn't know yet about, you know, wear masks, mask up, you know, none of that. We didn't know what to do about this or how widespread this virus was or anything. You know, we just flew home and came back to the house, and then we stayed here for the next 3 months before we really ventured out other than to go to the grocery store wearing, you know, a body full of cloth over our faces. It was a bizarre, bizarre time. I know we're not out of this for obvious reasons that we do not even need to go into on your show. We could be out of it, but we're not. But that I am vaccinated and back out on the road, going to get a booster shot tomorrow, with my father because he's eligible. I'm not, but I'm going to see if I can talk him into it because I've got to go out in public and be with people. I'll just, you know, I'll just beg. I'm not about begging. I'm not. Yeah, this is a major trip back to the farm. And the thing that's most compelling for me about it is that I'll have my father and my sister Nancy with me, and Cindy, who after the Kindred Spirits episode and what she suffered in that house said, I'm never going back there again. Don't even ask me. So I didn't. And Christine is mom's full-time caregiver. So she has to stay in Georgia. So mom and Christine and Cindy are going to come into the live stream virtually, but in a way where the viewers can interact with them as well as us, ask questions, you know, make comments. It's going to be a wonderful thing. So all six of us, and I would even dare to say seven, because my dearly departed sister April, my baby sister that passed away in March of 2017, will undoubtedly make her presence known, because mm-hmm. there was never a family event that she was not at. She was always late, but she was always there. And I feel certain that April will be with us, whether she floats between Harrisville, Rhode Island and Billerica, Georgia, or just stays put in one place, or just follows me around in the car, you know, whatever. She will be there, and she makes her presence known very, very regularly to every member of our family. So, you know, I'm comforted by that, Sophia, because if I hadn't grown up in the environment that I did, I don't know if I would have recognized the signs of April, which began to emerge within, I would say within 24 hours of her passing. She went to visit Cindy first, and then my mother, mm-hmm. and then found me in California, where I was at the time out on the Queen Mary. And I'm so grateful for that. You know, I don't understand why there are people that object to the paranormal and the research that we conduct and, you know, all the reality of our, you know, our just seeing our old reality with new eyes, because to me it's very comforting, especially when so many people have lost a loved one throughout the course of this pandemic or more, and to have, you know, the notion that they're not really gone, they're elsewhere, their human vessel may have perished, but they're still with us, I find an extraordinarily comforting and very loving arrangement that is far more peaceful than thinking they're lost, they're gone, and I will never, ever, ever see them again. And I just don't think that's the case, not at all.
Absolutely. I do want to say I'm very sorry for the loss of your sister, but I'm happy that, you know, you've seen signs that she's still around with your family. It's great that you still have that connection with her and are able to recognize, you know, when she's around, instead of being able to just say, hey, no, that's just a coincidence, or, you know, try and figure out a cause for it.
Yeah, no, she makes it obvious. You know, April was mm-hmm. an Aries in life. Aries as Aries gets. And like bull in a china shop. And she always used to wear this very specific perfume, and I can't remember the name of it, but it was something gardenia. And, I mean, very pungent. I mean, like almost like we called it old lady perfume, okay? I'll just tell her, you know, tell you. We called her, you know, did you have to bathe in your old lady perfume, April? And she's like, I was working in the garden. I didn't want to take a shower before I came. Okay, fine. So we'll get an overwhelming scent, the aroma of her perfume, which was very distinctive. And as soon as any one of us picks up on that, we know she's right there with us. And I've actually seen her three times I've seen her. And she looks fabulous. She looks like she's maybe 20, 21, with her beautiful long platinum hair and her big blue eyes. It's just amazing. You know, I don't know if that's actually her or an image that she is throwing or how energy works or, you know, I still can't tell you. There are no experts in the field, as you well know. Anybody that claims to be an expert,
yeah,
run away from them because they're just feeding you a line of you-know-what. There are no experts. If my family isn't experts, there's nobody that can tell you exactly mm-hmm. what it is that we saw, what we experienced. All we know is that we saw it and we experienced it and it was real. But I still can't tell you how it works, how it is, you know, what the other side looks like, if they eat and sleep, if they're, you know, I mean, I don't know. They still exist in some way, shape, or form. And based on my own personal experiences and my own sightings and my own contact, they retain a multitude of the physical characteristics that they had in this life, only better, stronger, younger, for those that have crossed and deliberately want to come back. Now, I've also seen some very hideous things, spirits that look like, you know, they're one in particular that looks like her head is covered in rotting flesh and sprigs of hair, and she's her head hanging down off the side of her dress and
oh, wow.
You know, hollow black eyes and thin lips and jagged yellow teeth and two holes where her nose once was. I mean, she's just obviously a desiccated mess. Now, I can't tell you why my sister would appear to us as young and vivacious and brilliant and beautiful as she ever was at that age, and that's the way she comes to us, and yet we saw what we saw at the farm. I can't tell you if that's, you know, a being that is deliberately trying to horrify someone, if that's the way she looks now, if that's the way her energy manifests, if she was evil and this is some kind of divine retribution, or if she's caught in limbo, if she's stuck being earthbound and so can only manifest as how she looked as she was decomposing. I can't tell you any of that. I don't know. That's the honest answer. But I will tell you, to me, it doesn't matter who they were in life, that they still are in some form of an afterlife is what I consider miraculous.
Andrea, in the chat room, there's EWZ27 and also mentions that your sister closes doors, but not all the way. Is that a sign you get frequently?
Yeah, she does that. She also likes to drop pennies on me and right in my path, directly in my path, even on like store countertops. She'll let me know she's around me all the time. In fact, I left her a penny the other day. I was like, here you go, sweetheart. You know, I know they're coming from you, because we always used to sing pennies from heaven when we were kids. And she's remarkable. And, I don't know if you know this, but in August, our family suffered a horrific tragedy. My sister Nancy's grandchild, Lucy, only 7 years old, was taken, ripped from her mother's arms and taken from this earth in a terrible flash flood in western Tennessee, in Waverly, Tennessee. It was all over the news. And I think 22 people perished. And our little Lucy was the brightest star. You can't even imagine what a beautiful, intelligent, sensitive soul, an old soul that she was. And one of my sister's other grandchildren, Nancy has 5 grandkids. And so my parents have 15 great-grandchildren, and we still count Lucy among them because she will never leave us.
and one of her other granddaughters was at her other grandmother's house that day. And she's a sensitive. I think she's beyond that. She's only 8 years old, so it's hard to even begin to label a child this gifted. But when April passed away, she was only four, and she came to see her, and she said, Auntie April came to see me. And this was within a couple of days of April's death, which brought all of us comfort, but it also was indicative of a child that could see spirit. And she had an interaction with her. Well, the day of the flood, as the flood was ongoing, she came out of her room and she said, Grandma Becky, Auntie April just came to visit me, and she has Lucy with her. Why does she have Lucy with her? And so Becky immediately called Nancy, and Nancy had just gotten off the phone with Lucy's mother's sister, and her mom had drowned, and they had her in an ambulance, and they were draining her lungs and rushing her to the hospital, and they did save her, but they didn't find Lucy's body until 2 days later, 2 miles away from the house. And it collapsed the walls of their house. It was the little creek that she used to play with frogs in is now a raging river, a torrent of debris and mud and you know, every kind of hazard that you can imagine. But April's visit with Lucy told us that that child died very quickly and didn't suffer. And for that, I will always be grateful.
Well, my whole family is very sorry for your loss. It's really incredible, you know, that, you know, one of your nieces was able to see her again and has the ability to do that. It's amazing just, you know, the way children are able to connect with the other side that adults sometimes can't.
It was truly a blessing. I mean, to say that we were all devastated is the understatement of the new millennium. But my pain, the worst of my pain around the loss of Lucy, was that she had been so scared and was she was a very strong swimmer. She was a big girl for her age. And I thought, you know, her last moments on Earth were spent fighting for her life. And I don't think that's what happened. I think she was gone very quickly. And I hope so. I pray to God that it was fast. Because just the thought of it being anything else would be too much of a torment for me to bear. And I'm sorry to cry on your show. It's still so raw. It's still so raw.
Completely understand.
You know, it was, you know, a few months ago now, but it feels like it just happened. And so, but, you know, I wanted to let you know that it was, it's, there is a blessing to knowing that spirit lives on in some way, that death is not the end, that it's a transition from this realm into another. And I think that that's important, especially now, that's important for people to hear.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so much with life that we don't understand, and the afterlife is really adjacent to that. I mean, there's so much to this world that's unknown, and I think that's the biggest part of the paranormal is just trying to figure that out and, you know, find ways to still be able to connect with loved ones, but also hear the stories of people that, you know, aren't here to tell them anymore. Like with your house, the Conjuring House was a very old residence. And so the spirits you were interacting with, who knows what their stories were fully, and they're still trying to communicate and, you know that there's still people around to talk to.
Well, you know, I think that the reason that they communicated with me
particularly when, and not just me, of course, every single member of my family had a multitude of experiences, but I had a way of communicating with them that is, it's hard to explain, but it was almost a familial connection, even though there is absolutely no link to our families, and there's no ancestral link between my family and our lineage and the Richardsons or the Arnold family. And, you know, the Richardsons built the estate. It was, the land was deeded for it in 1680, and the house as it stands now was completed in 1736. And there were others, there was another smaller home that was built back on the property behind the Nipmuc River, which is now just a cellar hole. There's nothing left to it. But, you know, I mean, this is ancient land, and it was originally belonged to the Nipmuc Indians. Their mm-hmm. tribe resided in that valley, and so my sister April, when she was a youngster, when she was about maybe 9 or 10, saw a whole cluster of Indian children playing down just on the other side of the bridge, just in the pine grove. And one of the things that I found most fascinating about her account when she came home all excited and, you know, telling mom all about these little kids that she saw, and they were dressed like, you know, they had what she was trying to describe as moccasins or some kind of a sandal footy thing. And they had skins, and they had, you know, their outfits were obviously entirely different from our own. And she said that they were playing in the pine grove. Well, that pine grove didn't exist when they lived there. Mr. Kenyon had planted that pine grove. And it was about maybe mm-hmm. 60 or 70 years old when she saw them, the trees were. And yet they had crossed into our realm long enough to play in the woods that were once home to them. And she said, interestingly, of everything that she described, she said that they were careful not to step on the lady slippers that were growing up from the pine straw. In the shades of these massive trees. So, and that they were touching the trees. They were literally playing hide and seek in between the trees. Now, how can that be? And yet she described yeah. it exactly, that they were right there. They were, she could see them just like they were a bunch of kids playing in her yard. That was one of my first indications of how special that place is and how incredibly special that land is. But I think that it was something about our family and our ability to connect with them, which was entirely unexpected. I mean, my parents did not buy that house because they thought it might be haunted, and oh, how cool. That ghosts were not even on the radar at all. I mean, when we used the word ghost, it was at Halloween when mom was trying to figure out which one of the five of us wanted to be the ghost for Halloween so that she could pull mm-hmm. a sheet down and cut some holes in it so we didn't get ourselves killed, you know, running into things, which always did anyway. But, yeah, you know, it just was not something that was even considered. That could even be a possibility. My parents wanted that house because it was one of the very last original colonial homes in this country, and how incredible that could be the case. You know, it really is, it's marvelous. It's all magical, and we don't know anything. You know, one of my quotations that has somehow become relatively famous is the safest assumption we can make is that we know nothing compared with what there is to know.
Absolutely. I mean, it's really such an incredible house. And I mean, your story is so incredible too. Most people know by now that the house is currently up for sale. What advice would you give to the next homeowners?
Please protect it. please love it and revere it and respect it and respect the spirits in it and be cognizant of the fact that it was their house first and that we are the intruders, and just be loving and kind, and woe be unto anyone that provokes in that house.
Absolutely. I mean, it's really such an incredible location, and I just can't wait to see, you know, what's in store next for, you know, activity-wise and everything. The Dark Zone isn't sure if this will be their last event, but it would be great to see just the continuation of the history in that house with its standing and just everything that happens there. It's only going to continue with all the history added.
Yeah, people think that, you know, if they watch The Conjuring, they know the story. And there's nothing about The Conjuring other than, you know, the names of our family, you know, names and likenesses of their family, which they contracted us to use for the movie. But, you know, about 5% of it is spot on accurate, and the rest of it was conjured in the mind of two creative screenwriters, brothers, twin brothers. And they read my books. Everybody associated with the film read my books. And James Wan, after he finished them, said, oh, hell no. You know, we can't really incorporate any of this into this film, and nobody will stay till the end to watch it, which I think is absurd, because I don't really think of it as a horror story. I think of it as a love story with a wicked supernatural twist. You know, but the thing about, I am grateful for The Conjuring for a number of reasons. And first and foremost, I wouldn't be one of the preeminent authors in the paranormal had it not been for a blockbuster feature film made about my family story. Because anybody that went to it and saw it for any purpose other than pure entertainment, which still makes my skin crawl, but, you know, I mean, I get it. You know, I understand. That's why people go to movies. But anybody that could see beyond it and say, based on a true story, what's the true story? To just Google my name, the books pop up immediately. And those that are really interested in the story behind the story read the trilogy, and they are forever changed. They never really think about anything the same way again. It is an eye-opening, truly third eye-opening, illuminating experience. It's a spiritual journey as much as it is a scary story. And I think that that's the greatest gift that the film gave to me, was notoriety in terms of the true story being available out in the world and giving me a platform to speak about it, because Warner Brothers put me out as the face of The Conjuring right from the inception of their PR push, because nobody else associated with the film really wanted to do it. They'd all had experiences on the set that freaked them out, and, you know, some of them, a few of them went out and did a couple of events, but mostly I was the one that promoted the film for Warner Brothers, and they told me over and over, talk about your books, you know, put that out, that there's more to the story, that the truth is even stranger than fiction. And so that was a tremendous opportunity that I was given from the filmmakers. And since then, so much has happened, so many documentaries, so many people have visited the farmhouse since Jen and Corey have had it, and they opened it to people. Even in the midst of COVID, they took, you know, heavy precautions, but let people in to experience the energy and the mysticism and the magic of that place. And I'm so grateful for that, because it's not that I need, and I think both of you will understand completely what I'm about to say, I don't need anybody's vindication or validation. I don't. I know what I experienced there for 10 years of my life, and so does every other member of my family and a multitude of other people. So I don't need anybody to say, oh, yeah, look, parent family were telling the truth. Yes, of course we were telling the truth. I did not sit tethered to a computer for 7 years of my life to concoct one big, fat, elaborate lie and then make my family memorize it and swear to it. You know, that's absurd.
Yeah.
It was just very easy to sit there. Well, there wasn't anything easy about it, actually. But it's always easier to tell the truth about everything all the time. And that's anybody that any member of my family knows that that's who we are. That's, you know, hardwired into our DNA. It's what we're made of. So I just told the truth. And, yeah, it was hard. There were times that it was very, very difficult. And tears streamed down my face, and I didn't want to revisit some of these episodes, but I felt like I needed to, that it was important to share it. You know, my mother said it best when she came up to me one day and said, this isn't the kind of story that one should rightfully take to the grave. If we lived it, then we need to have the courage to share it. And she was right.
Absolutely.
She was absolutely right.
I know
yep,
we're
and
at
it
the
changed
end of the
my
show
life.
Here, but I do want to thank you so much for coming on, Andrea. It's been amazing talking to you as always. Everyone, definitely make sure to check out the Dark Sense event. Andrea will be a part of it. And just thank you again so much for coming on.
Oh, it's my pleasure entirely. Yes, I invite everyone. This will be an interactive, immersive experience for you to share with my family over Halloween weekend. Please come if you can.
Be
well, thank you again so much,
thank you
Andrea.
So much, Andrea.
We'll love to have you back on in the future, but thank you again, and
wonderful.
Have a great rest of your weekend.
You too, sweetheart.
Can't wait to meet you.
Bye. Oh, I
Bye.
Know. Me too.
Bye, Andrea,
oh, it'll be great.
You. Thank you so much. Great show today, Sophia.
Definitely. Andrea is such a great guest, as always. I want to thank you all for listening. The show definitely would not be possible without all of you. Make sure to check out The Dark Zones, A House Homecoming, and I will talk to you guys again next week. Bye.
Yeah, let me expand on some of the details of that. Visit thedarkzone.tv. I have some questions about that in the chat room, too, as well. So visit thedarkzone.tv. That's thedarkzone.tv for all the event details. Thank you in the chat room, too, from Annie, Aaron, and Lynn. Thank you guys so much for jumping in the chat room, too, as well. And Andrea Perron, House of Darkness, houseoflight.com. That's House of Darkness, houseoflight.com. And again, for the entire Halloween weekend, bringing the family back together as a homecoming in the Conjuring House, thedarkzone.tv. That's thedarkzone.tv. Also upcoming, we have Holly Weird Paranormal host Tammy and Bryce. We'll be on the program next Saturday, the 30th. Also, the Heritage Hunter Society paranormal researcher Michael Lanciana returns to the program on November 6th. Paranormal researcher and YouTube sensation Carl the Crusher will be on the program November 13th. Our paranormal journey field investigator George Chaplin will be on the program on December 4th. So you don't want to miss any of these upcoming shows. We have other guests booking their dates currently, too, as well. The Ghost Host Show is Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. We'll see you next week.
Hi, this is Debbie at Xeon Ghost Adventures. You're listening to The Ghost Host with your host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.